This is the Modest Million Show, episode 13, The Power of Small Dollars for Personal Finance. Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Modest Million Show. This is the show dedicated to helping average folks like you and me better understand and simplify our personal and household finances so we can chart our own path toward modest millions. I'm your host, personal finance enthusiast, dedicated budgeteer, and aspiring modest millionaire Phil. On today's episode, we talk about the power of small dollars and why you need to start saving for retirement right now. And I appreciate you coming back after a couple week hiatus here on the Modest Million Show. As I said in the introduction, this is the show for average folks like you and me, and I don't know about you, but life gets busy. There's summer vacation starting, there are family road trips, there's family events, there's work obligations and restrictions that put pressure on things. And so it's been a little bit as we try to focus on some of those things, but we're back in the studio here today to talk about small dollars, and it might be a quick episode, but just wanted to cover this off because I think it's very important that we do discuss this as an important topic, because there's this misconception out there that you need to have a bunch of discretionary spending money before you get started with saving or investing for retirement. And we thought that too in our household, me and Mrs. Modest. It held us up from getting started as early as we would have liked for saving for our future and investing in our future. We thought we needed to have all of our I's dotted and T's crossed. And I think similarly, there are some popular philosophies out there, Dave Ramsey, that strongly suggest that you need to have all of your debt taken care of before you start investing. You know, it's that debt-free philosophy. And I can relate to a lot of that. And I think that there are a lot of those principles that we believe in our house. But I think also at the same time too, you know, if we're looking at our mortgage that is at 3% and we can get investment returns of 10%, well, for us it makes sense to maintain that low income debt while we then can at least start getting going in investing. And yes, debt is largely bad, but sometimes it can also work to your advantage as well too. So the simple fact is that when it comes to personal finance, something as small as it may be, whatever that is almost always better than doing nothing at all. And it's almost better to start saving now than waiting 1 or 2 years or maybe even longer, or waiting until you have all of your debt paid off before you start looking at investing in your retirement accounts or an IRA or investing in a taxable account and something like an ETF or something like that. So today I wanted to just illustrate some examples to see how really small numbers can really add up when you start doing it now. And it's not the size of the savings as much as it's the motion in the savings and investment ocean, so to speak. And for all you perverts out there, I'm talking about the time value of money when it comes to size does matter. Or, I'm sorry, size does not matter. So get your minds out of the gutter, all right? Obviously mine went there right now, but get your minds out at least. So if you start saving today, even if it's just a super small amount, you're going to be miles ahead of someone who waits a few years and starts looking at that. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back to look at an example of how starting now rather than later really can come into play. What I love about small dollar investing, and especially with an episode like this today, is that you don't need to pay an investment advisor a really hefty 1 or 1.5% fee to manage your hard-earned dollars for you. Now, 1 to 1.5% does not sound like a lot, and there are actually advisors that charge more than that. But when you start running some numbers, and there are a lot of calculators out there that you can look to do that with, 1 to 1.5% starts adding up really, really quickly over the course of your investing life. And it also means that the small dollar investing means that you don't have to have $10,000 available to you to plop into a hedge fund or some other mutual fund or something that has a minimum amount that you need to invest. Instead, you can go to a place like Betterment and drop a few bucks into one of their ETFs and start earning your returns without paying a bunch of fees. There are some small fees, but because of the way that Betterment works and its robo-advising, it's using algorithms and making some of those trades on your behalf, so it doesn't necessarily need a physical body there actively managing those funds. And so because of this, this passive investing strategy allows you to earn those returns or earn modest returns without paying a bunch in fees on the back end. So it's actually kind of a nice deal, and you can do that without having to drop a bunch of money into the account too. So it's something that we were able to do and kind of get started with, and I'd encourage you to do the same thing too. So to grab your free account and start investing your small dollars, go ahead and visit modestmillions.com/betterment. That's BETTERMENT. modestmillions.com/betterment. All right, welcome back. So let's run a quick scenario and using the Three Stooges as our compadres in this example. So let's say we have Larry, Moe, and Curly, and they're all 25 years old. So all three, Larry, Moe, and Curly, are all diligent savers, and they figure out a way to carve out $1,000 out of their budgets every month to invest in something simple that earns a conservative 7% real rate of return. Now, I don't think we've covered this a lot, and I think we'll probably cover it next week in greater detail when it comes to factoring for inflation. But remember that real rate of return just implies that we're subtracting out inflation from that. So we're looking at it and saying, okay, well, maybe Larry, Moe, and Curly are earning a 10% rate of return, but the inflation rate is maybe 3%. And so if we take 3 away from 10, simple math tells us that that return would be 7%. So that just helps us use the value of dollars and keep those value of dollars constant over the course of a long period of time. So all three invest for only 10 years, and then they stop saving and investing, and they just let the money sit there and grow. The only variable between these three is when they start investing. And here's where we start talking about time value of money. Larry starts investing right away at 25, and he continues to save or continues to invest until he's 35 and then stops. Stops cold. So between age 35 and 65, he's investing nothing. He's living the dream. He's letting his investment just sit there and grow and marinate. Mo, we'll put Mo in the middle, he waits a little bit longer and he starts investing from between age 35 and 45. So again, same 10-year period, same $1,000 a month. And then we have got Curly, who's, you know, kind of a late bloomer, and Curly waits even longer and then invests from age 45 to age 55. So all three invested a total of $120,000, right? Because $1,000 a month is 12 months in a year and for 10 years, so 1,000 times 12 times 10 is $120,000. But when they all reach 65 and that investment is allowed to grow untouched during that period of time from when they stop investing to when they reach retirement age, their balances are very different. Curly, the late bloomer, has a nest egg of over $373,000 by the time he gets to 65. Now, that's not bad considering he only started saving or only started investing at age 45 and only did that to age 55. So in the 10 years since he stopped investing at age 55, his nest egg has tripled from the $120,000 he put into it. He now has $373,000. Maybe not the nest egg that he wants, but it's still a really good return. Mo, in the middle, does even better. His money has a longer to grow, and so by the time that he's 65, his nut has grown to almost $735,000, which is almost double Curly's retirement balance. And that's just because that Mo started saving 10 years earlier than Curly did. Again, they're both investing the same amount, $120,000, but Mo just started that 10-year period 10 years earlier than Curly. So it stands to reason, save the best for last, right? So Larry comes out smelling like a water-filled rose prop, and as is apropos in a Three Stooges analogy, but his ending balance is over $1.44 million. That's insane. That also doubles Moe's balance, which means that it quadruples Curly's balance. And that's pretty impressive with only $120,000 invested. And the way that Larry was able to do that, well, he started when he was 25. And maybe for a 25-year-old, saving $1,000 a month or figuring out how they could save $1,000 a month might be pretty daunting. But whether it's Larry, Mo, or Curly, at different stages in life, you might be earning more money, but you also might have more expenses or more temptation to add expenses to your budget, because it does all come back down to the budget. So this is where you need to start putting your budgeting hat on again, as I love to do. So take a look and see if there are any of those discretionary expenses in your current budget that you could do without for a period of time. Again, using the Larry, Moe, and Curly example, that was 10 years. 10 years over the course of an entire working life is not all that long in the grand scheme of things. But maybe you look at it and maybe it's a morning coffee habit, or maybe you're going out for lunch once or twice or every day at work during the work week. So those are $5 or $10 or even $15 in expenses right there every day. So if you tossed that habit, let's say it left you with $200 a month that you could then invest into your 401k or redirect into an IRA or put into a taxable account at a place like Betterment, and you did that for 30 years, you'd end up with $250,000 just with that. I don't know about you, I like my coffee, but I could do with not having going and getting my coffee from Starbucks or a local coffee shop if it meant I could just, you know, grind the beans at home and make my cup at home and take it in a tumbler, or use the office coffee and just dump a extra sugar or two in there to make it taste at least decent. I can do that if it means $250,000 over the course of 30 years. Or maybe you look at other expenses that you really want, and maybe you really want to keep that coffee or lunch habit. I'm not here to judge you one way or another, because your budget is your budget. But maybe you look at optimizing or cutting your cable or your phone bill. You know, those are two areas that we've noticed in our budget that tend to get inflated pretty heavily. And we're like, we need our cell phones, or we need our cable because it's nice to just sit back and relax. But we've started to cut the cable for our cable, and now we use PlayStation View, and we could easily add in Netflix when the time is right, but we decided we don't necessarily need Netflix right now. So our cable bill went down from $90 a month to $30 a month. We still have to have our internet bill, but you know, that's part of just, we decided to keep that in there. You know, that was important to us. Or our phone bill. We went from an unlimited data cell phone plan to one that gives us 3 gigabytes of data. And so now we just are smarter about how we use our data and doing more on Wi-Fi. So, you know, those are some of those things that maybe you look at. Or maybe it's ditching the Amazon Prime subscription because you realize, I really don't need two-day shipping, or I really don't need some of those other things that that Amazon offers. Or maybe you right-size your car or your house to get rid of or greatly reduce that monthly outflow from your budget. You know, car payment and a house payment are two of the larger expenses that are going to be in your monthly budget. And if you get rid of your car, or not necessarily get rid of your car, but just drop down to maybe a little bit smaller car or a little less newer car, it's 4 wheels and it'll get you to and from work and to and from running errands. You can do it if that's, you know, an area that you can target. Or your house, you know, maybe you don't necessarily need all those bedrooms. Maybe you could, you know, look at other areas where maybe cost of living is lower. All of these different things that, you know, I encourage you not to just rule them out. Put them on the table at least, and at least consider to see if that does make sense. Tell you what, some of the decisions that we've made, I wouldn't have thought we would have made those in a million years. But we did, and it was scary, and we weren't quite sure what the answers were going to be. But by the time we got to the end of it, we've been really, really pleased with some of the decisions that we've made and what that's meant to our budget. So here's another idea. You know, when you get a raise or a bonus at work, it's really easy to say, okay, well, if I get my year-end bonus, I'm going to take those dollars and put them into our IRA. Or my year-end bonus is going to fund our IRA. Or when I get that raise in 3 months, we're going to use that extra money to then really ramp up our investment savings. Don't fall into that trap, Because when you start to do that, then you're putting things off. You're waiting, and you're waiting for that thing to come through. And sometimes it does, great. Sometimes it doesn't, which is even worse, because then you're even further behind. So instead, outside of your necessities, you know, like your house, like your utilities, like your daycare costs or tuition for school, you know, some of those that are considered necessities, and that can be debatable as well too. Saving and investing should be at the top of the list, always. The point is that these sacrifices are only temporary. And if you think about the big picture and imagine yourself living the retirement of your dreams, that's much more impactful than going out and getting that floppy, greasy burger that you were going to have for lunch. So just take that longer view and put off some of that initial satisfaction that you want and start thinking a little bit more long term and just start doing it and putting those dollars to work for you. All right, that'll do it for this week's episode. What about you? I'd love to know how, if you've looked into the time value of money for your situation, you know, where you fall on the whole, you know, pay off your debt first or start investing now, or, you know, where you fall in your spectrum. I'd love to hear from you. I know I kind of poked the bear here, and Dave Ramsey can kind of be a sacred cow for a lot of people. So certainly don't mean to offend you. I think it's just a different philosophy and approach. But if that's something that you've done and it works for you, I really would like to hear from you on that too, because I'd love to get some perspectives from folks who've kind of gone through that program. Also, make sure to reach out with your feedback for me or for the show, topic ideas, personal anecdotes of your own journey, or if you just want to say hi, always up for that. Always appreciate the kind emails and words that we get through email and social media as well. You can also reach me at, so you can always reach me at feedback@modestmillions.com. For a recap of the strategies, tools, and links that we talked about today, make sure you check out the show notes. And you can access those at modestmillions.com/013. And also while you're on the site, don't forget to subscribe to receive email updates when we post new episodes. And you can do that at modestmillions.com/subscribe to find your podcast subscription of platform of choice. And please, if you like what we're doing here and you find the information valuable, really appreciate it if you help spread the word and also show your support by leaving us a 5-star review, or even if it's a 1-star review. You certainly would appreciate that too on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. So join me next week when we talk about the simple math of calculating inflation in retirement. Until then, remember to keep squirreling away now to earn millions later. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.